You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Here's a fun one for you, Danny. Have you been tracking Richard Sherman versus Baker Mayfield at all?
I have been, and it surprised me to no end that Richard Sherman, a bloviating jackass, and overextended himself and is incorrect. There's a video of a handshake, and he claimed there was never a handshake, and then he's now just deciding, he's doubling down, that he's still somehow disrespected by something with Baker Mayfield. I think Baker Mayfield's a horse's ass, but if you're in Cleveland, you like him. If you play for the Browns, you like him. If you're outside, you're like, that guy's kind of a punk. Be that as it may, Richard Sherman just invented a slight and decided to yell about it.
Just made up that Baker Mayfield didn't shake his hand. And then video came out of Baker Mayfield very clearly shaking his hand. You don't get to say that he didn't shake your hand if he shook your hand. So now, while on Pat McAfee's podcast, he said he definitely deserves an apology, talking about Baker Mayfield. Mm-hmm. While also then saying, after that, that he was still disrespected by Baker Mayfield.
Okay.
Whatever, dude. Some people walk around looking to be disrespected. Richard Sherman always kind of comes off to me like that guy. Like, he's going to find an issue with something that you said. And some people revel in that. I think he does. You heard him at the podium this week saying, if you said we were going to be bad, don't give us credit now. I want you to look like an idiot when it's all said and done. Some people enjoy whatever that is. And he's one of those guys. But don't tell me Baker Mayfield didn't shake your hand if you shook your hand. You look like you look really bad right now. I'll say that.
I mean, he's an abrasive jerk. He's also been good for a long time. Great player.
Are we talking about Mayfield or Sherman?
Oh, good question. Sherman to me. Sherman's a brilliant guy. Super smart. You know, it's well chronicled what it is. But he plays the antagonist, and that's what he thrives on, and that's good for him. That's what gets you going to go play football. For Jalen Ramsey, it's making fun of every quarterback that he plays against. That's fine. For some guys, it's whatever your motivation is. I want to earn money for my family. For other guys, it's they want to be the best ever. Whatever. Float your boat, dude. Do that. But you can't be the antagonist. You can't be inflammatory and then throw your hands up and go, whoa, I'm the victim here. You guys don't know about my background. I'm very smart. I went to Stanford. You know what I mean? Like, I overcame a lot. I get that. But you try to have it on both sides of it where somehow Sherman, as a jerk, is then like, wait, I'm a victim here because Baker Mayfield disrespected me. Actually, you made the whole thing up, jerk. You know what I mean? Like, I don't really have patience for that. I don't care. Play football or don't.
I think Sherman and Mayfield are actually really similar, by the way.
Yeah, there's a lot.
They're both cut from the same cloth at times. Yeah. DC Sports on Twitter said, funny we don't hear from Sherman for years when his teams are underperforming. Little bit of success, and he can't stop talking again. It's actually a really good point.
It's a good point.
Back in the news. Now, I'll say this. When your team is losing and you're not playing well, I don't want you to be the loudest guy in the room. So you probably should just drift into the back of the room and be quiet for a while. But now that they're 4-0, here comes Richard Sherman again.
Oh, that's my Sherman.
Let's get into Dwayne Haskins and the Redskins for a second. The phones are open at 800-636-1067. 800-636-1067. Haskins will not play against the Dolphins, according to Bill Callahan. He is going to now have a competition this week at practice between Case Keenum and Colt McCoy. By not playing Haskins this week, he is, and he said this in his press conference, admitting that he believes what Jay Gruden believed, which is that Dwayne Haskins is not ready. Mm-hmm. In fact, in his first press conference as acting head coach, Bill Callahan even said there's a possibility that Haskins will not be ready until next year. And he used those words. That's a quote, next year, which is
alarming.
Really troubling to me. Here's where I'm at on this, though. Again, I told you yesterday, I'm not going to just yet react to all the things I'm hearing and some of the texts I'm getting from out of the building and people saying, uh-oh, this is not going well, this will not end well, this guy might not be a franchise quarterback. I think this is where the noise gets the loudest. I think people are kind of all now going to hop in and do their best to try to basically get their swing at the pinata. It's an easy time right now to take a hit at the Redskins and Haskins.
Mm-hmm.
So take some of this with a grain of salt. But Danny, Gardner Minshew was drafted in the sixth round, was the 178th pick, has played extensively already for the Jaguars and played really well.
Been pretty good.
On his way right now on pace to a bunch of rookie records as a sixth round pick. When you draft the guy at number 15, that player not being ready at any point during his rookie year and having to be essentially protected from playing until his second season in the league, I think tells you everything you need to know. And I might even change my stance on this forever moving forward. If you're drafting a quarterback at 15 and that guy can't get on the field in the first half of his rookie season, you're drafting the wrong player.
Because I need to offer a distinction again. I don't think anybody would care. I mean, some people might get disappointed or upset or mad. Let's say he played this weekend, GP, and didn't play well, right? With a bad offensive line, very little in terms of skill position, no running game to speak of, a new head coach, a new play caller. If he doesn't play well, lots of guys have come into bad situations and not playing well. See Jared Goff. See every rookie quarterback on a crappy team ever. They're 0-5. This is not a 5-0 team that needs to turn to the rookie midseason. This is not some other kind of situation. This is a bad football team playing badly, and a guy coming in that's probably overmatched, not playing well, is expected even. But you're looking for signs there. There's a difference between saying he's not ready to come in and win games, not ready to come lead this group, not ready to come in and raise the level of play of everyone around him. I don't care about that yet. That's not what I'm even looking for. I care about the not ready to play at all element of this thing, which is very different. Okay, that means he doesn't know where the rush is coming from. He's staring at the pass rush. His eyes are not looking at receivers. He's holding the ball. He's going to get killed. He's going to get hit so many times that it will ruin him forever. That's what not ready is. There's a difference, again, between he might be a little worse than Colt McCoy right now, who's been in the offense for 6 years. Who cares about that? You'll throw him out there. If he's not ready in the sense that he's in danger, like he's going to go out there and get hit by these grown men who are hunting him, this is a bad sign. This is a sign where I think we already need to start asking questions. I'm not ready for alarm just yet, but I think it's very fair to be concerned. Very fair.
Yeah, concern is now, but when is worried? You know, when is the next step toward uh-oh? At what point do you say uh-oh? I'm not doing that yet, but this does not feel, look, or sound good so far.
It's not an uh-oh. It's a are we, like, it's one of those kind of things. You're scratching your head and going, I have to
look
ask,
both directions. You go, should we be doing something?
Is anybody looking at this?
But I am closing in on being worried. Because at some point, like, it's not Jay Gruden anymore. If Jay Gruden just was trying to save his job.
He's the big bad man.
Didn't want to play Dwayne Haskins. And what does he know anyway? He's going to get fired. Well, now it's Bill Callahan. Now Kevin O'Connell, you'd have to imagine, has plenty of say in this. Stephen A. Smith had a terrible rant. I can't believe anyone watches that show. But he was way over the top, shocker, and screaming about Jay Gruden. And essentially did like a race thing where he, you know, Jay Gruden doesn't think Haskins is smart enough, which I've never heard him say one time. But his point is because Jay Gruden says he's not ready, he's saying he isn't learning the offense or isn't. I don't know how he jumped all the lily pads he did. But people are making a lot out of something that's just not that big of a deal, which is that Jay Gruden didn't think Dwayne Haskins, who's played 13 games since Bullis High School, was ready to play football. But apparently neither does Bill Callahan, and apparently neither does Kevin O'Connell, and apparently neither do the other people in the building. Remember, the scouts who drafted Dwayne Haskins, from what I was told, many of them in that building didn't want him in the first round. This was a Dan Snyder pick. So to work back from, well, they drafted him in the first round, so you can't change your mind already. I don't think anyone in that building is changing their mind, is my point. I think the owner and the team president, like they did with Robert Griffin, decided this is the guy. And then the coaches were told, make this work. Maybe it will. Mm. He certainly got the talent. He certainly got the arm. I believe that Dwayne Haskins has the physical tools to thrive in this league eventually. He's way more athletic even than I thought he was going to be, which I love. But for him to be unable to play this week against the terrible Dolphins is one thing. When Bill Callahan says he might not be ready till next year, which he said yesterday, in a sport where the sixth-round pick Gardner Minshew is lighting it up for the Jaguars?
Yeah.
Come on.
It's absolutely fair to be concerned. And again, if there's a difference between saying that he's not going to come in and be the best option to help us win on Sunday, right? That shouldn't concern anybody. There's they got no chance of being any good. They might beat the Dolphins, so what? Whoop-de-doo. You're the world's tallest molehill, right? That means nothing at all. If you beat a terrible team that's actively trying to rebuild and tanking, going through the process. This is he can't process this stuff. Where the defense is coming from, adjusting protection, making sure his feet are in the right place just for normal dropbacks.
I wonder how different, by the way, all this would be, this conversation, you and I talking about him, our opinions, and the way the team feels if he didn't play against the Giants and look as terrible as he did. I wonder if anything would be different. I think they would feel the exact same. I think there's way more negativity from fans.
Well, because they can see it and we can't.
Right.
It was just the practice.
But still, that game shouldn't really be used as that big of a determinant and really shouldn't factor into how we talk about him at all. But it's all we've seen, so it's just naturally going to. Mm-hmm. Jack on Twitter just tweeted me and you, and he said, this is funny. He goes, remember, Bill Callahan wants to run the ball 1,000 times. He's basically saying Haskins is not good enough to hand the ball off the majority of the time.
I suppose that's maybe bring him in for running plays.
A little over the top and cynical, but look,
it's a good bit.
It's funny. You got to drop back. You throw the football in this league to win, and they're saying right now he can't do that. 800-636-1067 is the number. When should nothing else matter but seeing what Haskins has left? You're 0-5. I think at 0-8 or 0-9, we're there. Like if in a month he's still not playing, then, to me, it's over. Then let's figure something else out from the top down with either the philosophy where he plays no matter what, or it tells me that they are perhaps going in a different direction, which after 1 year would be egregious, in my opinion. 800-636-1067 on Grant and Danny. Why would you want Haskins to play in a month? Well, because the season will be over, and you're not going to be concerned with trying to win because the playoffs are not a factor. And you need to find out if this guy's good or not, particularly if it looks like they're going to go 3-13 or 2-14, which is crazy as that sounds, Danny. It is possible. I would think maybe 4-12, but at this point, that means that they go 4-7 the rest of the way.
Yeah, you got to beat some decent teams too, with good defenses.
Impressive, probably, right? With a interim head coach.
So we thought San Francisco wasn't going to be that good. They're 4-0 and killing people defensively. They're nasty.
If you're ready picking in the top five, though, you're going to have a chance, depending on where you pick, at Tua Tagovailoa, Jake Fromm, Justin Herbert. So you mean to tell me that you don't want to know by the end of this year? I don't think you're going to have a full glimpse on what Dwayne Haskins is, but just what he looks like on the field. You're just going to let Colt McCoy and Case Keenum play till the end of the season and not get any better look at Dwayne Haskins? I think that's foolish.
It would be a wasted opportunity, obviously, right? If it's that bad, then you do have to just go draft somebody else.
Well, and also I'd say this real quick. If you can't play him in the second half of this year in a lost season because it would be a detriment to him, then he's not the guy.
Then
anyway.
He's not the guy.
If playing him sets him back or hinders him, or you go, Bill Callahan gets called into Bruce's office and he goes, listen up, Bruce. He's going to hold the ball. He's going to take hits. He's going to get sacked. He just can't see it yet. Or maybe it's as simple as he's going to make a lot of mistakes and mentally it's going to wear on him and it's not going to go well. Then you got the wrong quarterback.
Right.
He should be able, coming out of Ohio State, throwing 50 touchdowns in the Big Ten, to at some point this season go out and start football games.
Think about this. He's played way bigger games than he'll play for this Redskins team over the next 2 years. You know what I mean? Like playing against Ohio.
I don't know if I'd agree with that.
100% in front of 110,000 people playing Michigan, playing their Big Ten titles, going to bowl games. Listen, I know,
but
the pros are a different animal.
Now and
sure.
Nobody's going to eviscerate you if you play poorly in college like they do in the pros.
Oh, I disagree with that. The fanatical fans at Ohio State. Or in the Big Ten?
No, but Stephen A. Smith's not going to do a segment where he kills you and tells you you're useless.
That's fine, but you'll still feel the energy and the noise. The expectations are a national title or bust, but I digress. If he can't protect himself a month from now, that's it. I mean, listen, nobody was more high on this guy than me. I love this. To me, is everything I would look for. Hyper-productive, no red flags, no bad stuff off the field, shotgun for an arm, played great against great competition. To me, this is like the whole point of scouting. This is the dream. A guy that is still raw enough that you could develop him in your system, match made in heaven for a head coach. This should be exactly what everyone looks for. And so far, it's been the opposite of that, right? And through no fault of the kid, it's just sort of where we are right now. And if he can't get on the field in a lost season because he's in danger of stunting his growth or not being able to protect himself, it's not only do you not have the right guy, it's you have to move on. You have to Arizona Cardinals this thing.
By the way, at 12:18, we're going to get you to predict Steven Strasburg's line tonight on the phones, as well as coming up in the 12 o'clock hour. Give us your prediction on who plays hero at the plate for the Nats in their Game 5 against the Dodgers. Let's take a few calls, though, on Dwayne Haskins. Found out yesterday not only is he not playing, but it could be a while. In fact, Callahan made it sound like maybe not this season, which would certainly be discouraging. Adams in Herndon. Hey, Adam.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. Love the show. Hey, basically my opinion is the longer he sits, in my opinion, is the more it's going to hurt his confidence, meaning, you know, he's going to think more and more that these coaches don't believe in him. And you just got to rip off the Band-Aid to me. You know, there's many great quarterbacks in the league who struggled mightily in their first season. And Peyton Manning threw 28 interceptions in his first year.
Almost all of them, Adam. Almost all of them struggled really badly.
Exactly. And my thing is it's also my argument as to why you don't just go out and draft another so-called talented player who hasn't played in the league yet. And, you know, I think this guy has to experience failure before he can experience success.
Appreciate you, buddy.
But it's that important distinction, though. Again, no one's saying he has to come in and set rookie records. He didn't have to be Baker Mayfield last year. No one's saying he's got to throw 30 touchdowns and 5 picks the rest of the way. There's a difference between I don't expect him to be productive and he's going to get himself hurt. That's the line here. I don't care if he's not good. This is a terrible team.
I think he's going to get himself hurt is just unrealistic and way over the top, to be honest with you. He's a big boy. He's got the Ben Roethlisberger build. Could he get hurt? Sure. Anyone on the field could. I don't believe in the get himself hurt part. My fear, if I have one, is the mental development being hindered because you learn bad habits. To me, that's the worst case scenario is you get onto the field and you take shortcuts to try to, I'll use the word survive in air quotes here, or prosper and have any success, and that muscle memory is super hard to unlearn. That can be the big issue. Now, the question that also has to be asked is this. Look, it's not a coincidence that when Joe Flacco gets drafted by the Ravens, he has a good career. And if Matt Ryan gets drafted by the Falcons, he flourishes. And whenever the Browns take anyone, it doesn't work. And whenever the Redskins take someone, it doesn't work. It's about culture, and you either have a chance or you don't. They had a bad offensive line situation. They don't have weapons around him. And it was a team with a lame duck head coach who's already been fired. And look at Haskins' value all of a sudden bottoming out.
Right.
This was all predictable. Do you really want to, number one, give up on a guy who's done nothing wrong to this point after one season if you are drafting in the top five? And secondly, do you want to take another guy? What's to say that anything would be different? Like, if you're sure as a scouting department that Tua Tagovailoa is just better than Dwayne Haskins, that's one thing. But who's to say they get to make the pick? They didn't make the pick this past time when they weren't Haskins guys. Grant and Danny on the Fan.
Okay.
That's the list.
All right, here we go.
Actually, you know what? I'm going to add one.
Go.
A chocolate chip cookie.
Whoa. Just one? Or did I get 13 like yesterday?
13 you had yesterday. I had like 3 during the game in the PNC area of the club the other night. So, yeah, let's go cookie.
Chocolate chip cookies, 1.
Wow.
The hot dog, 2. 3 is peanuts. 4 is Cracker Jacks. And 5 is popcorn.
Okay. Where would a pretzel fit into that mix?
Pretzel would jump immediately to the 2 seed. Carbohydrates are great.
Wow.
So it would be cookie 1, pretzel 2, and then everything else jumps down 1.
I told a guy this at the game the other night, and I meant this 100%. Like, Tom's going to get upset. You're going to just dismiss me as, like, being nuts or whatever, and that's fine.
All right.
If you tried to give me $1,000 and you said, you've got to eat this bag of Cracker Jack, I would tell you, thank you for the offer. It's very nice of you.
It's absurd.
I will not be eating that Cracker Jack.
Quite frankly, that's dumb. That's $1,000.
I'm with you.
Really?
Well, it's got a nut in it, and he would die.
Well, no.
He would asphyxiate.
I can have those peanuts.
Oh, you can?
I hate it. I'd rather have regular popcorn.
Well, of course. I mean, popcorn is delicious and great, and Cracker Jack is the opposite of those things. But I actually can't do it. Like, I find it disgusting. So the question is, could I gut through it and try to swallow it down? And like I was eating bugs with Joe Rogan on some TV show for $1,000 or not.
Just unbelievable.
But if you tried to give me $1,000 and all I had to do is eat a bag of Cracker Jack, I would say, thank you. But right now, I'm fine. Now, there might be a time in my life, I get fired. I'm going, you know, let's just say a couple months from now, I'm fired, I'm out of cash, and I got a baby to support. I'll find a way to eat those Cracker Jack. But today, sitting where I'm sitting right now in this seat,
just absurd.
Clothes on my back, air in my lungs, I'm doing all right. No Cracker Jack, no $1,000.
It's just your worst food take today. It's not as bad as your milk on cereal stance or a million other things.
Or pie.
Or pie. You don't like the smell of pie, the great smell we have. I would have sex with anything that smelled like pie, for the record.
Smelling like pie has never been an issue.
You hate the smell of pie was a statement that you made in the past.
I don't think I've ever made that.
Hundreds of times you've said that.
I've said I hate the smell of certain things like coffee.
You don't like the smell of pie. Then you tried pie.
Oh, it's the texture I don't like. It's the taste I don't like.
Well, you didn't know what the taste or texture was because you wouldn't try it. You didn't like the smell. A thing you said out loud many times.
I don't think I've ever said that, but I'll let you continue.
With all due respect, sir, you said it until you tried it, and then you've moved those goalposts there.
Pie just smells like a baked good. I don't think I would have said that.
I know it does.
Is not the issue.
I know it's not.
It's the taste and what's inside of that crust.
Right. So again, that's irresponsible too, but the whole thing is. Can I pivot for 1 second?
Sure.
23rd anniversary of when I learned life isn't fair. The 23rd anniversary of when I learned nothing can be okay just because you hope that the right thing happens. You could do everything right and still lose. You can be responsible. You can be an adult. You can do everything right, and it still may not work out for you.
Is this sports related?
It is 100% sports related. The worst moment, maybe, in my sports life, one of the worst moments of all time, it began a run of misery for millions of people across this country, even though it's celebrated. What am I talking about? What is it? What happened 23 years ago today?
That would have been 96. October of 96.
October of 96.
Playoffs?
Playoffs.
Baseball?
Baseball.
Jeffrey Mayer. Was that today?
Derek Jeter flew out to right. It was called a home run. It's why I will always be in favor of replay.
Yeah.
I get the replay stinks. I get the replay's not good. I get that they get it wrong. It's why I need to have it in sports. Because that little turd turned a flyout into a home run. And that umpire, for whatever reason, decided to get the call wrong, and it started the dynasty.
One of the most surreal moments of my life, I talked to him like a couple years ago. I somehow tracked him down.
He was like a D3 ball player.
Well, yeah, now
right?
He's a doctor, I think, mm-hmm. or something like that. He works at a hospital. I don't remember, but I tracked him down, and I wanted to have him on, and he ended up declining to come on. But just talking to him was like closure for me. I just
would have had clenched fists of rage.
I just needed
man.
Him to know that I knew, that he knew that I knew.
Fly out to Tony Tarasco, turned into a home run off Armando Benitez.
Let's go to George in Martinsburg. George, what's going on? What do you make of Dwayne Haskins apparently not being anywhere near ready to play, according to Bill Callahan?
Well, I think he should play. I mean, what's the Redskins got to lose? I mean, they're not going anywhere as it is, so why not play?
I guess the only thing is, if he's worse off next year and the year after because he plays and it goes really badly.
That's a good point. And I got some other things to say.
Go.
If you listen to Stephen A. Smith, you're out of your mind, dude.
Well,
I think that's fair.
That's a reasonable take.
You just throw things at the wall every day.
That. He just said, I've got another thing to say.
All right.
And then he just goes, don't listen to Stephen A. Smith, and then leaves.
That's all I got for you.
Yeah. Every time I see one of those clips, and about 98.9% of the time I ignore them, but sometimes I'm scrolling Instagram or whatever with the volume already up,
mm-hmm.
and I already hear his voice yelling at me before I even see it. All I can think is, oh my God, someone chooses to watch this. Because I can tell you definitively, and I mean this very seriously, I haven't watched that show for 1 minute in its existence. Whatever iteration it was, I've never done it. We've played some clips on the show before. I've
Max
heard those.
Kellerman asking where his camera is.
Never once. Couldn't do it. Wouldn't do it. There are people who like DVR it, probably. There are certainly people who come home from work and sit down and go, oh, it's on. Let's turn it on. I cannot imagine thinking that way. Mike in Crofton, you're on the fan.
Hey, what's up, Danny? What's up, Grant?
Hey, buddy.
Hi.
Hey, guys. I honestly don't agree with the whole idea of playing after. You're an 0-5 team.
Yes.
I know you're like, well, what do we have to lose? We have him to lose. I wouldn't, I mean, my honestly, behind this offensive line, you know we're going to get a good draft pick because we're going to probably finish 3-13. So let's go out here and look for the biggest, nastiest offensive lineman we can find in this next draft. And if we really don't think this kid is the future of this franchise, then we would find some guys that could truly protect him. Stop worrying about Trent Williams. That's gone. He's not coming back. You know, and get
trade him,
big,
Mike.
Nasty.
Trade him now.
Why? Oh, he's Trent. Yeah,
Trent. Oh, no, they're not Haskins. No, yeah, trade no, not Trent Haskins, Williams. No. Here's my question on Haskins, though, for you. Do you agree with me that if, let's just say a handful of weeks from now, they still say he's not ready, that's a problem, that's alarming, that's not okay?
No, I don't think that's a problem. I think a lot of players, as far as development, there's been guys who've held the clipboard for a year. Look, Tom Brady didn't get in the game until Drew Bledsoe went down. Remember that. We wouldn't know of his greatness. We would not know of Tom Brady's greatness had not Drew Bledsoe went down. He was not a high draft pick. We all know that.
I know, but that has nothing to do with the fact that my point is you drafted a guy at 15. If he's not ready to play in his first season, that's a big deal.
Well, I mean, to some it might be. I mean, everybody learns at a different speed, at a different curve or whatever, depending on the situation. But behind this offensive line, if I'm really looking at a guy to be my future, I'm not going to put him behind this offensive line. I mean, I'll be honest with you guys. I mean, nobody can protect anybody. Brady behind this offensive line would struggle.
Well, it's a great call, man. This offensive line hadn't been as bad as you think it has. I mean, for 2 weeks, Case Keenum didn't get touched. It's probably about middle of the pack in terms of pass protection. They can't run the ball, but we're acting like you've got some five high school guys up here blocking. That's just not what's happened. They've had time to throw it by and large, and there will be a lot worse offensive lines to deal with in Dwayne Haskins' career than this one, with a Pro Bowler at right guard. Now, this second, without Chase Roulier, without Brandon
Sheriff,
okay, that's changing. Those guys come back, and this offensive line, like it was at the beginning of the year for those two games, will be above league average in terms of pass protection, presumably. Grant and Danny on the Fan. Our double play is next, in addition to the double play. Got a couple of notes on the Nats and the Dodgers that might interest you. You're listening to The Fan. Grant and Danny on The Fan, the total bases pick-to-click challenge for the division series we've been doing, ends tonight. I have a one-base lead. I've got 6. Tom has 5. Danny has 4. And Dar is pulling up the rear with 2. Now, I just randomized the order 3 times during the break. Tom watched over my shoulder.
Mm.
So he saw that it happened. I've got it time-stamped here if you need it from random.org.
No, that's totally fine by me.
Unfortunately, you've got the 4th pick.
That makes sense.
Thommy has the 1st pick. I have the 2nd pick. And Dar is the 3rd pick.
Might have to wait on Dar's pick, though. He's pretty much indisposed.
Could be. Maybe we'll text him while he's in the delivery room.
Mm-hmm. Could you please stop what you're doing? We need the pick.
Whatever's going on.
We need our pick to click here.
I can tell you one person he won't have to worry about, Danny. Juan Soto. Already off the board.
Off the board.
Juan Soto, the 1st pick in our pick to click. Total bases draft. You can't use the same player twice. So I now have the 2nd pick. I'm not going to make my pick yet, but just know I've used Trey Turner. I've used Adam Eaton. I've used Anthony Rendon. And I've used Howie Kendrick.
I know I've used Eaton, Suzuki, and I think Rendon is the other one I've used.
There's one more because there have been 4 games.
That's what I'm trying to remember. I can't remember the other person I've used.
Soto.
I use Soto?
I think so.
Fair enough.
So the draft will continue. I'll give you my pick in just a few, and then we'll have to find out who Dar is going to take in the pick-to-click challenge. By the way, Walker Buehler has not allowed a run in 16 and two-third postseason innings now.
Oh, cool.
We're very excited about Steven Strasburg's career earn run average.
Rightfully so.
Walker Buehler's just thrown 16 straight innings without giving up a run in the playoffs. He did pitch against the Nats in the regular season. Pete and I were talking about this earlier, and Pete mentioned, you know, they did get to him. He said they knocked him around. Now, if you look that up, he pitched 7 shutout with 7 strikeouts against the Nationals on May 11th this year. So that does not qualify as being knocked around by Walker Buehler. But the 2nd time they faced him in Nats Park on July 28th, right around the trade deadline, he got knocked out of the game in the 6th inning, 8 hits, 7 runs, 4 earned. I'll take one of those, please. So he had one outing where they hit him, one outing where they didn't. And he's since in the playoffs pitched against him once and just absolutely dominated. Couple of notes on Nats Dodgers. Remember, Ernie Johnson, who's calling the game on TBS tonight, is with us at 1:30 today. We'll also be talking with Charles Robinson of Yahoo Sports, who wrote a great piece on the Redskins at 1 o'clock. Really good guest list in the final hour of the show. Let's get to our double play. What's going on in our lives? Nothing to do with sports.
Lots of things to choose from, GP, but I will choose from this. Word got to my wife yesterday. She can't always listen. She's got a full life and a job that's very important.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
The 13 cookies?
13 cookie incident.
How did she know?
The word got to her.
She's not on Twitter, right?
No.
So it's not the Twitter account.
It's not Twitter.
Have people listening that occasionally will tell her things?
Occasionally she has sources that are plugged into the radio program that inform her. Of these things. I'm not sure who the source was. I'm not sure if it was a good friend, a mutual friend that we have. I'm not sure if it was one of her coworkers. I'm not sure exactly where she got the information, but it's the risk I always run is when I share a bit of deep, dark secret or personal information on these airwaves that it might, be consumed by the public. It might ultimately get back to my betrothed. I will say this. It wasn't what I hoped for in terms of reaction. I can deal with anger. I can deal with, come on, man, you shouldn't do that. I can deal with the scolding.
Can you tell me what she initially said? Did she just come right out and say, I heard you ate 13 cookies during the show yesterday? Or what did she say?
I heard you ate 13 cookies today. And I was like, yeah, come on, give me the lecture.
Don't you normally say, oh, it was just a funny show bit?
No, she knew. She knew the truth.
Okay.
You could tell. My face gets fat. So does my body. It literally is that noticeable.
It didn't help that you were chewing on the air.
Yeah, it's documented. She did the thing where she didn't even address it after that and left.
Oh, no.
That's the one.
So she just kind of dropped it on the floor there for you to pick up and walked away.
I mean, it's like sit in your room and think about what you did. Mm-hmm. Didn't even do that. Just basically was the
you'd rather be scolded.
I almost wanted to be scolded.
You want emotion.
Frank. Yeah,
this is the apathy we talk about with the Redskins.
And that's exactly where I was going. I didn't get the disappointment.
She was resigned to the fact that there's nothing that can be done.
It was a level of, because one of the big things that upsets, I think, a lot of men in relationships, especially when you have kids, is the way that the children are addressed and the way that the adult is addressed need to be very different. You cannot speak to me as if you are parenting me. I am your husband or I'm your spouse, right? I am your betrothed. You can't talk to me the way you talk to a toddler.
Mm-hmm.
But it happens sometimes. It's natural. It's one of those things where if you and the kids are doing something, it's like, you guys, come on. Don't you guys me. Kids, you can address the kids, not me. I'm an adult. That's one of those times where you go, you know what? You're not an adult. Adults don't eat 13 cookies in 6 hours.
They don't like doing that.
Adults don't eat 13 cookies, really, in 4.5 hours. Really, it was 4 hours.
I was going to say 6 hours.
Yeah, 6 hours isn't true. It's 4.
We got the cookies at about 9:56. You finished the cookies at 1:56.
So 4 hours.
Yeah. Right? I like the idea of giving yourself the extra 2 hours.
Yeah, that makes it better.
Let's go to Pat in Mechanicsville, who's been waiting. What's up, buddy? How are you?
What's up, Pat?
All right, how are you doing today?
Good. You ever eaten 13 cookies in 4 hours?
A couple times.
All right, that's good.
Good for you.
Hey, my thing is with Haskins, I wouldn't start him until the last two games of the year, and hopefully we'll lose every game and get a number one or two draft pick, trade down, and get about 4 or 5 offensive linemen to build around, because that's what we need.
I'd sign up for that plan right now. I think the great debate that we will be having is if they end up picking in the top three, though, what if they love a quarterback?
Mm.
They didn't love Dwayne Haskins. Dan Snyder did.
But you got to how do you convince the owner that that's the course?
Well,
that's a tough ask. People look at Arizona and you could just do that. That's not a just.
No,
that's
no, no,
a really hard thing.
But what I'm asking is should they draft that guy? Not would they. If your staff that told you last year, this guy, he's fine.
Mm-hmm.
But if now they're going, hey, Dan, this one here. And what if you have a new GM, by the way? If you got rid of Bruce at the end of the year, you move him to just do stadium stuff, and that new GM comes in with a new head coach, and we're pretending like we're doing it for real and differently in this hypothetical world I'm living in, and they say, this is your quarterback. Then what do? You can't give up on this guy less than a year in. Cardinals did it with Josh Rosen, though. He was only taking five picks ahead of Dwayne Haskins.
And it gets a really similar situation for the record, okay? Because Cardinals had to get rid of the head coach. They had to bring in a brand new guy who would work with a certain system. You want a guy to fit that system. It's a fairly analogous situation. A GM that's overmatched. A lot of similarities between what the Cardinals did and what the Redskins might do.
The Beltway Blitz is next. This is your home for the Nats, the Caps, and more cookies than any other show. Grant and Danny on the Fence.
Still can't get a cookie swap, though.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.